Psalm 46, 10 and 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
This week, we pause to remember who God is and what He has done for us. When our lives are hurried, we only have the chance to focus on our to-do's. Making space in our schedules for prayers and meditation helps us to better see God at work in our lives and in our world. As we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Jesus' arrival as a gift to all humanity, let's stir up in our hearts and hearts a sense of anticipation. May God's Spirit transform the days leading up to Christmas into a time of holy anticipation, preparing our hearts as we faithfully await the chance to celebrate the arrival of our King.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Autumn and Jonathan, for doing that for us. We do that every single week at Advent. We light candles because that's what Christians have done throughout the centuries, around this season. Candles represent that we are waiting with God for the return of Jesus. And so I love how we just intentionally put a moment to slow down right in the service, right after worship, a moment where we have a reading, we light a candle to say we're in a long line. We believe that Jesus has come and He's coming again. Okay? And so that's why we do that every single week in the season of Advent. We do that every week leading up to Christmas. If you're here for the very first time, my name is Mark, and I'm the pastor here. We're excited to have you here with us during Christmas season. Now, one thing I want to mention before I get started. Next Sunday night, December the 10th, we are having our Christmas family fun night. Now, family means the church family. Everybody is invited. We did one of these in the fall, the month of October. A lot of people came. It was an awesome time. Next Sunday night, we're going to do one for Christmas. And I want to invite everybody to come. It's a fun time. We're going to have, there's a giant cookie house Christmas inflatable going to be here. I mean, that's going to be awesome. We're going to have a gingerbread house competition. So if you make a gingerbread house, bring it. You can put a prize, wear ugly Christmas sweaters, all kinds of free pictures with Santa. It's going to be an awesome time next Sunday night. But we're asking you this morning, if you know you're coming, there's a sign-up sheet right out there in the welcome area. You can sign up to bring food next Sunday night. Sandwiches, soups, finger food, dessert, whatever you'd like to bring. You can sign up and let us know you're going to bring something next Sunday night. It's right out there in the lobby. You can do that right after church here this morning. All right? Tell you what, I want to pray for us, but we're going to dive into some stuff this morning. Would you pray with me? Spirit of God, I pray that right now you would be our teacher. Jesus, we are diving into some pretty deep waters here as we go to the book of Revelation this Christmas. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. God, you'd wake us up. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to lean into everything that you've got for us and what you have for one person might be just radically different than something you have for the person sitting in just the next row. But God, I pray that whatever you have for us, we would say yes. God, that our hearts would be open to new possibilities. What if we come to church every Sunday for years and we don't expect anything this morning? God, I pray that our hearts are open to new possibilities of meeting with you in new ways today. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Anybody that knows me knows I love movies. And one of the things I love about movies, I love to see how movies are made. You know, like, I love to know the decisions behind what made the director do a certain kind of shot. I love to know how, you know, what made the certain special effects. If I buy a movie or a DVD or I'm streaming something, I always look for, like, extra features because I want to hear. I love the director's commentary, watching the movie and hearing the director talk over it. I just love getting behind-the-scenes info of how things happen and things that happen, and you don't even see it, but it happened the entire time. Well, today we are going behind the scenes of Christmas. Not only Christmas, we're going behind the scenes of our lives. These are things that are happening right now, and you don't even see it. You may not even be aware of it, but behind the scenes of your life today is everything that we're about to dive into. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open it up to Revelation chapter 12. Okay? We're going to read through the entire chapter. The words are going to be on the screen, but if you've got a Bible on your phone or like one that you use and you write notes in, I just always encourage you to use that so that you can take notes, highlight things, and be real familiar with it. I'm going to make a promise right out of the gate right now. We're going to read this whole chapter. It will make a lick of sense to most of us. All right? But don't worry about it. Don't check out. It's okay. Hey, by the way, it's your turn to Revelation 12. Two Christmases ago, we went through the book of Revelation. It was a 20-week series. One chapter. We did two chapters at the end. So 20 weeks. Every Sunday was a different chapter. If you open up the Summit app, you want to go back to that. I know there's a lot of people who miss that. I see a lot of new faces. You want to go back for that, dive into that, open up the Summit app, put podcasts. It's all in there. Every single Sunday in that series, you can listen to it right now if you want to dive into that. If somebody's calling, say, we're going to the book of Revelation, you know, they call, how that? Okay? And so, Revelation 12 is where we are. Let's go. Whole chapter, and we're coming back. Okay, here we go. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations, with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. So that's a whole chapter. We're going to come back to it. Let me just give you one really important thing to know about the book of Revelation. Okay? Most people, when they think about the book of Revelation, they think that Revelation is all about the future. And they're only partly right. They're only partly right when we think that Revelation is all future. Because in reality, Revelation is actually past, present, and future. So Revelation is past even before creation, which is some of the things happening in Revelation 12. Revelation is present. That would have been present for the church that John is writing to. But here's the thing, it's also our present. And Revelation is also future. Now, when we think future, a lot of us, we think, oh, our future. We start to speculate. We go down to YouTube conspiracy theory rabbit holes. But you got to understand first the future that John is talking about is the future of the original audience that he wrote to, which would have been this first century group of churches that John writes 7 letters to. 7 churches
were the original audience, and so he's talking about their future, but also our future, because we're still waiting for Jesus to come back. And what happens in Revelation 12, John just told the entire story of the Bible. John just told the entire story of the Bible in Revelation 12, not just the Bible. John just told the entire story of history in Revelation 12. Before creation, up until the moment when Jesus comes back. So everything is right here in Revelation chapter 12. And keep your Bibles open, okay? So don't do one of those, oh, we read the verses, now we can shut the Bible. So you need to keep your Bible open the entire time, all right? Look back at verse 1 with me, all right? Verse 1, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman. That woman's identity is going to change three times in Revelation 12. The identity of the woman is going to change three times in Revelation 12. The first identity of the woman is the 12 tribes of Israel. How do I know that? Let's look at the verse. A bright sun appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of, look at it, 12 stars on her head. Those 12 stars in the book of Revelation are always the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this woman starts out with the nation of Israel. We'll see who she turns into here in just a second. But all through Revelation 12, there is one consistent character. And that character is the dragon. Or, as you know him, the devil or Satan. Again, how do we know that the dragon is Satan? Look down with me at verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent, here it is, called the devil or Satan. And so here's the deal. So Revelation 12 starts with there's this battle in the heavens, even before Genesis 1, before creation. See, Satan was a created angel by God, and most people believe, based on verses in Isaiah, that Satan was created by God to actually lead worship in the heavenly realm. And so Satan, though, is filled with pride. And Satan actually wants to be God. He didn't want to worship God. Satan wants to be God. And so Satan initiates this massive rebellion in heaven. And he leads a third of the angels to rebel against God. And John even references that, because John talks about how a third of the stars were thrown down with the dragon, because those third of the angels follow Satan and everything that he does. Here's a few things that you got to know about the devil. Go to the next slide if you can. Here's a couple things you got to know about the devil this morning. You can with me say, uh-huh? All right, that's good. Here's a couple things you got to know about the devil. Number one, the devil has wisdom. You see that because in Revelation 12, seven heads. Okay? So he's smart. He's not phoning it in. This guy knows what he's doing. Number two, Satan has power. John represents that by seven horns. So Satan has a lot of power. Now look at me. Satan does not have unlimited power. Okay? Don't think of God and Satan as in this eternal boxing match where sometimes God lands a blow and sometimes the devil lands a blow and you never know who's going to win. Satan only got a third of the angels to rebel, not every one of them. He has limited power, but they don't say that at all. He's got power. And then he has the ability to influence other people. Crowns. He's got influence. We'll talk about the way that he influences people here in a little bit. But Satan can influence. Listen, Satan can influence others. Do you think Satan can influence me? Hello? Are you with me this morning? Right? What? Look at this. Satan has been, Revelation 12 shows us, Satan has been at every major turning point in God's story of coming down to these people. Remember last week we talked about the direction of the Bible wasn't up, it's what? Start from the D, ends with an out. Down. Now we go on to the name. You guys are smart. Good people, scholars. I love you. The direction of the Bible is down. God's always tried to come down to these people. And every single time, God has tried to come down to be with his people, Satan is right there in a very strategic, very different way to try to stop it. So then in the middle of verse 4, again, look at your Bible. Verse 4, the dragon's tail swept the third of the stars out of the sky, flung them to earth. Those are the angels that rebelled with it. Now watch this. The dragon stood, here it is, in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour the child with both. Okay. Now, I know you're awake. Who do you think? And here's the deal. It's Christmas. Who do you think is the woman about to give birth? Boom! I knew y'all, man. 9:30 is my favorite service. Don't tell me 11. It's Mary. It's Mary, right? So now the woman has changed to Mary, and Satan is right there seeking to destroy the birth of Jesus. Think about it. Again, you know the Christmas story. Remember when Herod gets word from the wise men that a new king is born? And Herod rather gives an edict that every male child under the age of 2 in the city needs to be killed. Remember that? Who was behind his decision? The devil was. And so all of a sudden the woman has changed. And so here's the dragon. Here's Satan. Satan is trying to do every single thing he can to stop Jesus before Jesus does anything. Verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child, watch this, was snatched up to God and to his throne. Verse 5 sums up Jesus' entire life. That's the birth all the way to this issue. Jesus is going to rule the nations with an iron scepter. That's spread out in the book of Psalms. At the end, he's caught back up to heaven. It says the way that he came. That's the entire life of Jesus. What's that mean? It means that the devil lost. It means that the devil couldn't touch Jesus. He didn't stop Jesus. And so then, in 7 through 12, Satan is cast out of heaven and thrown down, there's a direction, to where? Earth. Satan and all of his demonic influence are thrown down. Watch this, not to hell.
Right here, where you are this morning, on this planet.
Satan is cast out of heaven and he's thrown down. And so what happens? So Satan tries to stop the 12 tribes of Israel, and God in the Old Testament doesn't do it. Jesus still comes. Satan tries to destroy Jesus, can't do it. Jesus is the King of Kings. Nobody beats Jesus. Jesus' sins goes back to heaven. The devil lost again. So now, all of a sudden, last verse of this up chapter, look at it, verse 17. The woman changes. Then, the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the, watch this, check it, the rest of the offspring. Those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. Who do you think it is? It's us. See, Satan knows that he can't touch Jesus. Man, he's trying to throw everything he could at Jesus, and Jesus is God. Satan knows that he can't touch Jesus. So what Satan has done, again, because there it is still on the screen, Satan's got wisdom, he's got power, he's got influence. Satan knows, man, I'm wasting my time trying to take Jesus out. So I'm going to turn everything I've got against Jesus. Satan has turned all of his direction away from Jesus and turned it towards the church. Here's a Christmas question. Why did Jesus come in the first place? I mean, why do we even have nativity scenes in our homes and Jesus in a manger and all of the things? Why did Jesus come? Now, one answer that everybody wants to give, you're right, Jesus came to die for our sins. That's exactly right. Let me give you another reason. You can put this on your Christmas cards for next year. Look at what John says about why Jesus came. Go to the next slide. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of Man came, let's all read it out loud together, was to destroy the works of the who? See that? So next year, I want to see a lot of Christmas cards with Jesus with a sword fighting the dragon and this verse on it. Send that to me because my friend, I love this one. Right? Jesus came. You have a nativity scene because he came to destroy the works of the devil. See, Christmas reminds us of two things. Christmas shows us, we go behind the scenes of Christmas and behind the scenes of our life. Christmas reminds us of two things that we need to be reminded of this morning. Number one, first thing Christmas reminds us of, we are at war. We are at war. One of the things about being at war is when you are at war, your enemy is clearly defined. And the Bible clearly defines your enemy. Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Means your enemy is not somebody that, you know, sitting on the other side of this room. Your enemy is not somebody, flesh and blood, a person you can look at in the eye. People might have hurt you. You can have deep disagreements and they may feel like your enemy. Paul, though, in Ephesians 6 wants to give us the right perspective. Listen, if you want to know who your enemy is, you need to know your enemy is not flesh and blood. You have an enemy, and the enemy is the devil. And I know it's weird to talk about the devil in 2020. I know this is not like something that everybody's going to talk about. A lot of us want to move on from stuff like this. You don't hear a lot of this stuff in the church. We need to talk about it more. And one of the reasons that we don't give the devil a lot of credit, a lot of thought, a lot of airtime, Because a lot of us, when we think about the devil, the person we're talking about right now, we think of it as like a real skinny dude and like a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork. You know, a lot of times you've seen pictures, right? You've seen that like cartoons and movies, and I can say that's not the devil at all. Jesus never says that the devil is a skinny guy in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork. When Jesus talked about the devil, here's what he said. Jesus says the devil is a liar. He is a murderer from the beginning. Peter, we're going to see in just a second, will say that the devil is a lion seeking someone to devour. When Jesus looked at the world, remember this from last week, how we saw that heaven and earth were separate, they overlap. When Jesus looked at the world, Jesus didn't see the real world and the spiritual world. Jesus saw a world, and in that world, along with people that God made, in that world are spiritual forces of evil. Look at it, out to deceive you, out to deceive your kids, out to deceive your spouse, out to deceive your family, your boss, your co-workers, the church. Hello? Let me ask you a question, I'm going to answer this out loud, gut check. Do you believe in the devil? Again, nothing out loud. Do you believe in the devil? Come to your Sunday school book, Sunday school answer book, Mark, of course I believe in the devil. Hallelujah. Is there any evidence in your prayer life that you believe that there's a real devil? Is there any evidence in your life whatsoever that you believe that there is a devil at work in the world? Paul, in Ephesians 6, says that there are powers and principalities at work in this world. Do you believe that? In Ephesians 2, Paul says that there is actually a spirit of the age. What's that mean? It means that each time in history has different ways that demonic spirits work that are different than previous points in history. Look at me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that 2023 has a spirit that is at work and it is working in a way that has never worked in history? Did you know that you are living right now while you're in this room? You are living in what is called the Great De-Churching. People are leaving the church, particularly in America, and abandoning the faith, Christianity, at rates never before recorded in history. People who study this kind of stuff say that if the Church of Jesus in America stays on the track it's on right now, we will lose the entire next generation. And when you lose one generation, we'll lose the capacity. Now, stop for a second. Look at it. I just want to ask you, who do you think's behind me? Do you think that there was some meeting that you were not invited to where millions of people said, we're done? You tell me. Or would you be open to the possibility that there are powers and principalities? Here's the deal. Let's take it up so you can write this down. One of the greatest works the devil has done in the church is to get us to think we're living at a time of peace when we're actually living at a time of war. Peacetime living and wartime living are radically different. Would you agree? Man, you look at, I mean, especially right now, this is easy to see. You look at the war in Ukraine, you look at the war in Israel and all those things. When you're at war, money is spent differently, isn't it? When you're at war, instantly, your priorities change. They have to, man. You're just trying to survive. Just trying to protect your nation, your family, your country, whatever. Peacetime living and wartime living are massively different. There is an urgency in wartime living that peacetime living doesn't have. And here's the thing. Peacetime living and wartime living are totally different things. So Peter says this, 1 Peter 5:8, look at this on the screen. Be alert and a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone, looking for someone to devour. We're just going to look at the words here, man. Look at that. Be alert. And what's the next word? You tell me. Sober. Now stay with me. Say, uh-huh. Sober. 9:30. What's the opposite of sober? Drunk. Oh, I know more than free, though. I know more than free, though. Come on. What's the opposite of sober? Still, all we're doing is studying the Bible. Be sober-minded. Okay, what's the opposite of that? What's it mean to be drunk? Man, when you're drunk, man, your senses are off. It can affect the way you talk. Like this, you can be drunk and not even know your name, not even know your body. Here's the thing. One of the things
that people who are under the influence tend to have in common is they do not think that they are under the influence. You're drunk.
Then I
drunk. Here's the reality that was bringing in. You can be drunk on the spirit of this age, son, and not even know. You can have the Holy Spirit living in you. You can be a follower of Jesus serving in this church. And you can be drunk on the spirit of the age. And listen, man, this is easier than it. This is easier than you think. The devil is not going to come to you with all of the junk that you see in movies. Okay? So like spinning heads and projectile vomit, you know, and all those things, and that'll make for a good movie. That's not the way that the devil usually comes to us. Okay? He's got wisdom. He's way more subtle than that. So next year is an election year. I don't know if you knew that. Next year is an election year. And here's the deal. I'm not going to go into a lot of details here, but listen, I'm just being honest. Man, after the last few elections, and after all the stuff that went down after COVID, man, some of the stuff that people said to me after church services on Sunday, it was wild. Like people saying that their politician was prophesying scripture and they're going to bring in the kingdom of God upon people and not preaching truth because I'm not telling you. I remember when I was standing in this room and said, I'm going to do this. Here's the deal. Look at it. All I'm telling you, I've already got plans for all this stuff next year. I ain't going into 2024 without those plans. All right? So here's the deal. I'm just telling you right now on Christmas, you better watch what you give your attention to. You better watch what has your heart on in 2024. Here's the devil. If the devil can't deceive us, well, he'll just distract us. If the devil can't deceive you, he'll just distract you. I say like this too. I remember right when everything had a lockdown because of the pandemic in 2020. And I remember when church locked down, like every week online, you know, we might get, you know, maybe 200, 250 or something views. But I remember those first 3-4 weeks when everything locked down. We would come in here, it would just be us and the band. Okay? And we would come in here and we would film the live stream service. And when I got back to the booth and looked, I mean, this was before 12 o'clock. It would be a regular time during those 3 or 4 weeks. We would end and we already had over 2,000 views. And I remember coming home the first Sunday we watched. Man, I spent all day at home on my computer answering messages from people that did not be in this town. And literally all over the world, saying, Mark, I'm scared. Mark, you don't know me, and I don't know you. I've never been to your church, and I don't even live in your state, but I found this online this morning. This whole pandemic's got me freaking out. What if I die with COVID? Mark, what's going to happen to me? I'm thinking about my life. It was as if there was a month in 2020 where the entire world was going through a collective existential crisis. What do we do after we die? And then 4 weeks in, Tiger King dropped on Netflix. Hello? Remember Tiger King? Do you remember Tiger King? Remember? Hey, do you remember how those first 4 weeks everything shut down and there was no, you couldn't go to a movie, you couldn't go to a restaurant, you couldn't watch sports on TV, and then Disney figured out that if we shipped all the NBA teams, we could create a bubble and y'all started watching NBA and they had like computer-generated fans in the stands. It was the weirdest thing that I'd ever seen. And 4 weeks was all it took for the world to go from what happens to us when we die, we need to think about our lives, to never mind, we're good. Here's the deal, you're laughing and it's funny. But man, if the devil can't deceive you, he'll just distract you. Just distract you with the latest thing that everybody's watching. Just distract you with something going on at the office. Just distract. Listen, if the devil can't deceive us, look, he'll distract us. Man, he is really good at this. So if we are in a spiritual war with a real enemy, here's what we need to know. Jesus has won the war, but what do we do today while we're waiting for Jesus to come back? Last thing Christmas reminds us of and we're done. So we're at war, and what do we do in this war? Here's what we do.
we resist. We resist in this war. Look at this verse, 1 Peter 5:9. I think it's going to be on the screen. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him. There it is, resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Son, listen, in this spiritual war that we're talking about this morning, a Sunday-only faith is not going to cut it. Because the devil's been at this long enough to know. Look at the last word of that verse. First, suffering. Suffering is going to come into your life in 2024. And when it does, the devil is going to whisper to you, if God loves you. And so if you're not standing firm in your faith, you will keep coming to this church. You might give, and you may serve, but your heart stopped showing up a long time ago. Because, man, we were standing in something, in the moment of suffering. Look, I've just seen it so many times in this church. Mark, why did my husband leave? Mark, why did I get this diagnosis? Mark, why did this happen? And look at me. There's nothing wrong with the why question. Man, in a real relationship with God, you want to ask those questions. But I'm telling you right now, man, when those why questions come, you got to have something to stand in. Because the devil knows that you're an easy target. We resist the enemy. What's it mean to resist? Here's the deal. We're not called to fight the spiritual war. We're not called to fight. I'm fighting the devil. Well, here's why. Jesus has fought the devil. Fight him. You know what it says? Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Paul in Ephesians 6 says, stand firm. And after you have done everything, stand. There it is again, right there. Stand. Just stay there. Stand in what? Stand in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus has fought the enemy and won. We are called to stand, to resist, standing in the finished work of Jesus. So the way that we resist is, here's the deal, the way that we resist, what it means to resist, is while the world's convinced this is it, and while the world is just constantly distracted, we know there's a kingdom coming where all things are going to be made new, so we got to intentionally look for that kingdom. Hello, amen? Listen to me, man. If you're in a why season, and then you're suffering, Christmas holidays are hard for you because of pain or loss or whatever it is, you got to look to the kingdom that Jesus is going to bring, even when you don't feel like looking at that kingdom. Why? Because we're in a war where we're called to stand firm and resist. So stand firm against the lies of the enemy. How? By trusting in God's promises. Man, one of the ways we resist, we got to let Jesus tell us what reality is. That he is real, that he is God, that he is coming, that the kingdom of God is going to make all things new. And so we stand by standing in the finished work of Jesus. Something all God has called us to do today is resist. To wake up. Some of us God's called us to sober up and to resist the works of the day. We're done. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been sleeping so good that your alarm clock goes off and it freaks you out? You ever that ever happened? Like you're just sleeping, the alarm goes off. Gosh!
You know, right? Just jump out of bed, right?
Just scares the living daylights out of you, right? That's how much you were just sleeping that good. The alarm just scares everything out of you, right?
Maybe today, this has been that alarm from the Holy Spirit. Maybe in the past couple of minutes, the Holy Spirit just whispered to somebody, hey, listen, you've been drunk on the world. You've been showing up at church, you've been reading your Bible the entire time, you've been thinking real success in making this. So you've been pursuing that raise or that promotion over Jesus. And God's saying, listen, man, raise is good, promotion is good, but can I just tell you, Jesus is forever. Amen? Amen? Maybe the Holy Spirit whispered to somebody, man, you got so drunk. Maybe we got secrets in our lives. Nobody knows about them. Things are going on. We've been doing all kinds of work to hide it. And the Spirit of God just whispered in somebody, said, listen, you need to wake up. Because you are being deceived right now. Maybe it's even going into 2024. You can already feel this divisiveness and all these things just rising up inside of you. And the Spirit of God saying, man, listen, you need to wake up this morning. And you need to resist that by standing firm in the finished work
of Jesus. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you need to stand in, but every single one of us today, God's called us to resist the devil, stand firm in the finished work of Jesus by remembering we're at war, Jesus has won the war, and he invites us to stand in what he's done. We pray this morning. God, we just come to you right now and who knows how this has landed on us. God, it's our service 9:30. It's early. I don't know what our weeks look like. I don't know what we've been carrying the past couple of days. But Holy Spirit, I pray that right now, it's a moment of sobriety. That heaven is real. Heaven's real. Jesus is real. The devil is real. And nothing wrong with Netflix on service. Nothing wrong with entertainment on service. Nothing wrong with social media on service. But oh God, if we're troubling the world this morning, just distracted. The divisiveness in the world caused by powers and principalities, it's made its way into our hearts. We blame people, we care some people there on the other side. We need to see that as a gift. God, have mercy. But God, maybe we just need to be reminded this morning that there is a spiritual enemy who would love for us to show up at church, serve and go through the motions, but not bring our hearts into your presence. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that this season today, this is a moment of sobriety, that we would wake up from our slumber. Jesus, you would give us a wartime mindset for our hearts, for our minds, for our families. Father, that some of us after this, we would maybe build a prayer closet. Maybe orchestrate a couple minutes in prayer. Maybe we'd seize our drive to work to school and spend it in prayer. Maybe we'd do a gut check and just examine our lives and say, God, where am I being deceived? Am I being deceived? God, I pray this is a moment, this today, where we wake up and realize we're at war. Jesus, thank you that you've come to sustain in the finished world. Now, here's the deal. Now, if there's prayer counselors up here, if you need prayer to someone over anything at all, why don't you come on? Just get up out of your seat and make your way forward. Now, people who love to pray over you, will you just come get on your knees at this altar? Well, I want to invite us to a moment of honesty. And just with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I do believe that when we do something with our body, like raising a hand, we can send a signal to our own hearts that says, this is. And so with every head bowed, with every eye closed, is there anybody in this room today that would say, Mark, over the past couple of minutes, I really feel like God's telling me I need to wake up, I need to sober up, and I need to move on. If that's you, just put your hand up this morning, so I pray for you. There's a hand, there's another one. Anybody else, just put your hands up high. Anybody else in the room, there's two right there. Anybody else? Thank you for those things. There's another one right there. May God bless you. Just put your hands down and say that to God. God, wake me up. God, help me to have a sober mind. God, we do not just walk casually through this world like there's nothing at stake. Jesus, you came to destroy the works of the devil. And that devil is raging today. So God, I pray that you would help your church to stand. I pray for my friends today, brothers and sisters, who just raise their hands to say, God, I want this to be a moment where I wake up, a moment of sobriety. I hear that alarm going off. It's like a signal to me saying, it's time to move, it's time to get up. God, I pray for anybody who raised their hand, anybody that didn't, who knows something's going on in a real deep level today. God, I pray that as we wrap this service up, God, that you would help us to remember this week, we're at war. Jesus, we give you praise this morning that you have won the war. God, we're in it. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to stand. Help us to stand in the finished work of Jesus. Help us to believe your promises. God, help us to just anchor our souls into who you are and what you've done for us. So, And God, as we move into a time of receiving our offering, God, this is a moment. This offering, this is a moment where we can get anchored into some eternal truths. That Jesus, you're our treasure. Jesus, we believe that you can take what we give, no matter how small or big it is, and you can use it to multiply it in a way that we can't even imagine. God, we give because you're the treasure, and we want our hearts set on you. God, this is a moment of eternity right here. And so, God, I pray that you would not let us write it off or phone it in. God, I pray that you would help us to lean in, follow you in generosity, and not just in generosity, but our whole hearts. God, we love you. Thank you that you love us first. God, thank you for how patient you are to us, how kind you are to us. Thank you that when we've forgotten where it was, you've never forgotten us. Jesus, we love you. It's in your strong and beautiful name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Hey, right now we're going to go ahead and receive our offering, so you guys can go ahead. We've been asked, you can get in position. Those of you who've been asked to help us receive that offering. And if you want to give, you can go ahead and make preparations for that. You can give online. The instructions for how to do that are in your app on social media. You can open that up right now. And as they're making their way, I want to invite you to grab your connection card. Back of the chair, sit in front of you. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know any decisions you made today. You can drop those in the basket. You can turn them in out there at the lobby, at the welcome area. And sit down. I got a couple things to share with you. We've already prayed for the offering. You guys can go ahead and do the same thing. Hey, a couple things. Next Sunday night, don't forget family Christmas family fun night. Come, it's going to be a great time. It's all free. But if you want to sign up to bring food, that sign up sheet is out there. The Christmas outreach event, December the 17th. We have 29 names left to be sponsored.